We have broken our message into three parts. Mr. Mike Windsor is going to give a part, and then Timmy Kofelt is going to come and give a part, and then I'm going to give a part. And I've been waiting for this time for a long time to see my brother come up here and give a word, and Timmy as well. So it's a great pleasure to have him come. Give him a hand as he comes up here and encourage him.
Bless you, bro. So I was a little nervous about doing this. I've never done this before, so please bear with me. The Spirit hopefully is here. I know He is. He's going to lead me here. And what was really strange was I spent about 3 weeks preparing for this. And Friday night I watched, on this weekend, September 11th, I watched the tribute to September 11th on Fox News Friday night at 10 o'clock. The Lord said, that stuff that you did for 3 weeks? That's not the stuff I want you to talk about. So, very interesting. Very interesting. That feeling of, really? And it's really something. So, I'm speaking, as Ashley said, on knowing Him. And what it is somewhere in the last two decades, we've lost the person of Jesus Christ. Who we think He is in our mind. We have the wrong idea of who Jesus is. The wrong idea of Jesus making our life easy and happy. And consequently, the church has been telling people that for years. Watching September 11th, the tribute, backing it up to September 10th, I heard... As I was watching, I was reminded of a talk that I'd heard. And September 10th, if someone was to come up to one of those 3,000 plus people that lost their lives on September 11th and said, "Come to Jesus. He's got a great plan for your life. He can make you happy. He can give you peace." It didn't turn out that way. For some reason, we went in the era of politically correctness. We went from "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," to "Jesus loves you and He'll make you better." All you need is Him. Just come over Him. Come over and He'll forgive you. He'll give you everything that you need. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Matter of fact, in Matthew 10:16 and below, it says that He's sending us out like sheep among wolves. And later in that same passage, He says that we'll be locked up for what we believe and what we say. And that brother will betray brother unto death. That, by the way, was MWV translation, Mike Windsor version. For all you Bereans out there, you might want to go back and look up Matthew 10:16 and following. But the best part of that that verse that snuggled right in there in the middle of the text is what Jesus does for those who know Him. It says, He says that when they arrest you, or when things come up in your life, not if, "Don't worry about what to say, for I will give you the words. When the storms come in life," He says, "He'll be there to see them through, see us through." But this knowing Him thing, it has to be based on a relationship. And the only relationship that we can have with Him, that primary relationship, is Lord. We must give Him authority in our lives in order to get to know Him in the way that He calls us to know Him. We can't or won't get there with the wrong perspective of who Jesus is and what His purposes are. Which reminds me of another story. It's the parachute story. I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but just in your mind's eye, I want to draw a picture for you. There was a gentleman that took a flight, and the stewardess comes back, and he looked a little concerned, and she handed him this parachute. And she said to him, "Sir, if you put on this parachute, it'll make your ride more enjoyable." So the guy's like, I could definitely use an enjoyable ride. So he straps it on. An hour into the flight or so, he gets fidgety. You know, he starts to think about, man, this parachute thing is not really making my ride more enjoyable. Matter of fact, it's becoming a little bit of a pain. You know, I got to situate my back, and my back's starting to cramp up and everything. And I don't know what this stewardess was talking about. And then the guy next to him a little bit later says, hey, buddy, you know, this thing that you got on your back is really starting to cramp my style. I don't know why you think you need that thing, but, you know, you need to get rid of it. So he's like, man, what's up? You know, I'm supposed to have an enjoyable ride here. Then all of a sudden, you know that cart that comes down the aisle of coffee, and no matter what you do, they always find your kneecaps, right? And it's just bang, right into them. So this guy's sitting there, and he the stewardess comes back, and she's pouring a cup of coffee, and she winds up pouring this whole cup of coffee in this guy's lap. He freaks out. He stands up and he's like, man, I hate this parachute. And he takes it off and he throws it in the corner. So much for an enjoyable ride. I'm going to sit right back down here and I'm sorry for having that thing on. So now, fast forward. It's a different thing. Same people, same idea, just a little different skew on it. Guy's sitting in his seat and the stewardess comes by and she sees that he's a little bit nervous. And so she hands this parachute to him and he says, put this on. This will save your life. 30,000 feet, this plane is going to come apart. And this parachute here is going to make you to have a safe trip down to the earth. So, you know, he's sitting about an hour later. It's fidgeting. You know, his back's starting to hurt. And he's like, man, I can live with this. I can deal with this. You know, it's not so bad. You know, 30,000 feet, right? It's going to help me. Then the guy next to him says, man, I don't know why you're wearing that. It's really messing up my ride. He goes, just, we'll see you at 30,000 feet. Right? See how you like me now. Yeah. Right? And then here comes that coffee cart, right, down the aisle. She spills a whole cup of coffee in his lap. Oh, no, I'm okay. Thank you. You know, just a little sting. Got something to mop this up. So what this is a different perspective on how we look at things, right? I'm hoping that you're seeing the parallelism here. But if I understand rightfully that his objective is to save me from hell because I've sinned and broken his commandments, for his character is just, right? There has to be a sacrifice for sin. The idea of not making my life more enjoyable, but being there for me when things get rough. Then I'll start to see the importance of knowing Him and walking with Him in obedience. Luke 6:46-49 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what He is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torment struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck, it collapsed, and destruction was complete. Says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You do not do what I say. It's about knowing Him. Both of these men are revealing their relationship or lack of to us. I submit to you that the first builder had a relationship with Jesus and knew that the storms were coming. He'd probably been in those storms and stood with Jesus. The second builder, he's too busy with the world, looking at his neighbors, one-upping each other, keeping up with the Joneses. He had no idea, possibly, that storms were even coming. Back to that primary relationship of Lord and servant and giving Him authority in our lives. That means that in this relationship, he starts to chastise or correct us. The Bible says, for those He loves, He disciplines. What a beautiful thing. It doesn't seem like it's a beautiful thing in the middle of it. Are there any gardeners in here? We kill plants at our house. Several times in the Bible, the references go to horticulture or pruning. What happens when we prune a tree? All good things from our perspective. It strengthens the core of the tree, for one thing. The plant thinks that it's under stress and it's about ready to be ripped out of the earth, so that causes the root system to go deeper and wider and grab a hold of the earth. The idea here is that when the winds blow, that tree will still remain standing. So it is with us in our relationship with Christ. He wants us to discipline us. He wants to discipline us in the storms that come so that when the winds blow, we're not knocked over. He wants to make sure that our foundation is laid on the rock so that when the torrent hits, our house will withstand the flood. I know that it's hard to stand there under His pruning shears, you know, as you're getting your limbs lopped off, you know, figuratively speaking. Think about that. I mean, you know, it's so painful when we get under His chastising shears. You know, the things that He starts to reveal to us, they're painful. So we automatically, our senses want to take us out from underneath of those pruning shears, if you will. But if we don't stand there, and if we don't allow Him to shape us, what happens is that same problem, that same issue, that same area of you know, you not letting go, it'll come up again, just dressed in a different set of clothes. He's a gentleman. He's going to allow you to pull away, but you're not going to get what He has for you unless you stand in His chastisement. So I challenge you today, do you know Him? Are you done playing games with Him? Are you ready to make Him Lord?
Yes.
Are you missing out? Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. At this time, we're going to have some of our youth come up and give testimony to what happened down at World Changers. And our first ones to come up, if you could, it's Brian Slosher and Jordan Sanchetta. Give them a hand.
I'm Jordan, and at World Changers, it was one of the best weeks I've ever had. I grew much more closer to friends in my youth group. I got to witness to people on the streets, at the work sites, and the services, they were so well done. I understood them, and it went deep into my heart, so it just emotionally impacted me. It was the best week of my life, I have to say.
Yeah. I'm Brian, and during War Changers, probably the services, like every night, I always looked forward to them. And then by the end of the week, I just felt myself getting closer to God and wanted them to move into the next step with Him. So, yes.
All right, next we have David Blair and Kenny Leonard.
Hey, my name is David, and one thing that happened to me at youth group, or at World Changers, was we went for a prayer walk the first day, and we stopped by everyone's house on the block, and we just prayed for them. And then the next few days, the neighbors would come up and have devotion with us and pray with us, and it was just awesome to see everyone in my youth group and everyone in other youth groups get closer to God. And just at the end of the week, we gave our homeowner presents and all the neighbors presents, and it was just great to see their faces, and it was great to be there.
Yeah. At World Changers, I had one of the best weeks of my life. And when we were out working on people's houses on, like, the first or second day, a little kid about, like, 9 or 10 years old came to our house and started talking to us. And he started coming every day. And on probably Thursday, he started doing devotions with us and started talking with us. And on the last day we were there, we went for a prayer walk, and we stopped at a park and talked to him about God. And when we came back to the house, he decided to pray and receive Christ. And it was just really good to see that such a little kid like that would receive Christ in such a small time. And it was just really nice to see that. And yeah, it was a really good time there. And yeah.
That's awesome. It's really neat when you share, you know, I think Ms. Kim's going to talk a little bit about that and read the scripture, but, you know, some people plant the seed and then some people get the harvest, you know what I mean, to come alongside the Lord and harvest, and what a beautiful time that is that Kenny got to share in. At this time, Pastor Tom's going to come and he's going to read, Sarah Thompson is away at college. We're going to try to do a video, but, Pastor Tom's going to read and share a little bit about his time as well.
Isn't it great that we could be replaced so easily by these young people? It's awesome. I think it's awesome. We need to do this regularly. Remind us that we are replaceable. Let me read Sarah's testimony first. Going to Roanoke, Virginia with the youth group was such a blessing. The year before, when we went to Watertown, God showed me areas in my life that needed to change. This year, I was able to focus on God's plan He has for me. Not only did I meet great people and get to know the kids in this youth group more, but I believe the missions trip in Virginia that I was called to the missionary field. So she believes she was called, God has called her to the missions field. What that involves, I'm not quite sure yet. All I know is that God showed me that I have what it takes. He has prepared me in ways I do not fully understand. I decided I will not plan ahead my life as I see fit, but that wherever I go, I will look for opportunities to serve the Lord and share in His love. Currently, I have been attending orientation at Houghton College to do some missionary work on the weekends. My assignment is to go every Saturday with a group of people to Buffalo, New York, on the west side, to work with refugee families from main parts of Africa and other countries where people are being kept in harm's way for their belief. And every day, tasks. None of these families speak English, and our main responsibility is to help these families learn English and how to do day-to-day tasks in America. I consider this my first attempt at trying to go where God wants me to go, not where I want to. Believe me, my ideal Saturday in college is not waking up early after a long Friday night and spending the whole day 2 hours away from campus. However, I know this will make me grow spiritually, and I hope to bless those I come in contact with. I can't wait to go on another World Changers with the youth group, maybe as a helper or a leader. I was blessed to get to know the new generation of kids at the youth group and can't wait to see them grow. Stay strong and courageous. Do not let your relationship with God dim because you are not on a missions trip. I will be working on this also. To anyone wondering if they should go on the next mission trip, go. You will be blessed. Sarah Thompson. And just a personal word, I got to go with these wonderful young people and all the volunteer leaders and helpers. It was a great joy. And I think for those of us who had opportunities to share the gospel, interact with people, pray with them, or just walk the streets, it was a tremendous experience. The highlight of the evenings, of course, was the worship times. And when we got together and didn't worry about what anybody else thought, and our friends were there worshiping with us, and so we entered into some very powerful and deep worship, and God changed our hearts, including me. And I look forward to next year. I'm going again, guys. I hope you will too. Amen.
At this time, I'm really excited about this as well. Timmy Kofeld is going to come and share a word with us. Where's Timmy at? There he is.
So I wanted to start out by asking you all a question. And it's kind of silly, but I'll ask you anyways. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
All right. During World Changers, God kept asking me that question. Do you love me? Do you really love me? And it kind of took me aback. You know, I grew up as a Christian. You know, loving God and stuff. But was it my faith or was it my parents? So God challenged me. He challenged me greatly to go home and read His Word and study about Him, you know, consistently. Because I had been, but I kind of fell off a little bit. But God just was encouraging me. Do you love me? Seek after me. And I tell you what, a horrible thing happened. I got back from World Changers and I lost my Bible. I mean, the speaker said, you know, Satan's going to try to take this away from you. He's going to try to make sure that what God tells you, he's just going to take it away. So I got my Bible taken away, and I got a new video game. So, oh, yeah, me and James. Where's James? That's right. So I tell you what, these past weeks from World Changers, they've been a struggle for me. And when Mr. Davis asked me if I wanted to speak, I was contemplating it, and I said, you know what, God, if you want me to speak, I will. And so we were discussing it, and so we were trying to break it up in three parts, you know, show Him, love Him, and or know Him, and love Him. And so, like, which part am I going to get? And I was thinking in my heart, oh, I'm going to get love Him. And then Mr. Davis, he's like, you should take love Him. I'm like, oh, okay. So, oh, just God has been, He's just been doing a number on my heart recently. I need to read His Word. I mean, we all need to read His Word. I mean, when quizzing started, like, I think 2 weeks ago, God is like, here's your opportunity. Study my Word. Study my words. And ironically, the book we're studying is John. And what I wanted to read you a passage from is from John 14, verses 21 through 23. And it goes, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And it says in verse 15 a little earlier, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And, you know, a lot of most of my life, it's been like, you obey God's commands, it goes well with you. But, you know, that's not a very good mindset, you know? I mean, it's good when you're young, but you have to transition and to make it your own faith, to love Jesus, you know? And it says to obey His commands, and it says in Matthew 22, verse 34, on hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So what I had been trying to do, like most of my life, just obey the commands, it goes well. The greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I needed to focus on loving Him and seeking out Him instead of just kind of like this ritualistic, obey God and it'll go well. But which that's true, the Bible has many good advice for you. Like in Proverbs, it teaches you how to handle money, how to deal with people who are mean, you know, that sort of thing. But Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. If we just do these two things, our life will go as God intended it to go. I mean, how incredible is that? How simple, you know? It's like a lot of people, they try to make God complicated, you know? But God is really simple, because He knows that simple people like me need to hear this, you know? So it's just great to see that God has shown me this. I mean, I'm really excited. I'm trying to get back in the Word more frequently, you know, because He's been teaching me a lot in the Psalms, how to worship Him, you know, to seek Him out every day. So I encourage you to love Him. He wants to do so much in life. Not all of it will feel good, as Mr. Mike was saying. Not all of it's going to feel good, but it's all going to be for His plan and His purpose. And that's the good for everybody. So I challenge you and encourage you, read the Bible this week. Ask God to show Him, to show you Himself. He will show you. And it says again in the Gospels, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You might not find it right away. You might find it right away. But we just got to be faithful and keep at it. So I ask you again, do you love Jesus? I want you to think about that. And are you missing out for what God has for you? And that's really all I had, so thank you.
I'm not a prophet or anything, don't claim to be, but do you think he might have a future in doing that? Wow. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. Beautiful, Tim. This time we're going to have some more testimonies. Josh Thompson's going to come and he's reading Brad Freeman's. Brad couldn't be with us today. And Rachel Nelson's going to come also.
I'm Rachel, and this year's World Changers was really fun, but our crew didn't really preach to the neighborhood that much, but I really got something out of the service, and something that stood out to me was that the preacher said to be the moon and reflect the sun, and that really stood out to me, and I wanted to just bring it home and tell you guys. And I think that this year's World Changers motivated me to do Bible quizzing. And so, yeah.
As they said, Brad Freeman can't be with us today, so I'm going to be reading what he wrote down. One day for devotions, our crew went up to the Star of Roanoke. The Star of Roanoke is the biggest freestanding man-made star in the world. It is also the place that looks over the city of Roanoke and mountains. At the end of our devotions, we prayed over the city of Roanoke. As soon as we said amen, we heard the screeching of an eagle. It was awesome.
At this time, Savannah Ransom is going to come and Johnny King. Savannah is going to be reading Jesse O'Donnell. She couldn't be here today.
Like Mr. Ashley said, Jesse isn't here today, so I'm going to be reading hers. Dear Island Alliance, well, first I'd like to start off by saying I'm sorry I'm not there. I'm camping this weekend for my birthday in Pennsylvania. And the second thing I'd like to tell you is about what God did for me during this week at Roanoke. Well, there was this 10-year-old boy named Jaden that lived down the street from where my homeowner lived. He actually turned 11 the Thursday we were there, so we got to celebrate his birthday with him, which is pretty cool. He would come down to our site every day to see us all. He would eat lunch with us, do our devotion with us, and go on prayer walks with us. Earlier in the week, he had informed us that he was not a Christian, but he did have knowledge of the Bible. He actually summed up the story of David and Goliath for us during one of our devotions. By the end of the week, on one of our prayer walks, Jaden had more and more questions about Christ. Once we got back from the walk, Jaden told us he wanted to be saved. So we all prayed with him and became saved. So it was definitely worth it to go and just see that. So I ask you to keep Jaden in your prayers and pray that his relationship with Christ will strengthen. Jesse.
Hi, my name's Johnny. I just wanted to talk about the World Changers, like one of the best weeks I've ever been to. I was scared of going, but because I was scared of the place that we were going to. And it was hard place. People weren't the nicest people out there. But I was blessed to have one of the safest neighborhoods and a church next to us so we could go down there and sit in the air condition. It was hot out, okay. But we were able to have a next door neighbor that knew Christ, but she was too sick to go out and be able to go to church anymore. So she came and sat down and did devotions with us. And then our homeowner that we did, she was also saved, but she didn't really go to church too much, and we were able to sit down and do devotions with her. And that's why World Changers is the best.
At this time, the ladies that went on, the adult ladies, I should say, that went on the crew with us, are going to come and speak. Ms. Michelle Freeman, Kim King, and Heather Windsor.
I was pretty much forced to go to World Changers. I knew it was going to be very far out of my comfort zone, and but I was very privileged to be able to go with my husband Mike and with two of our children, Maggie and Grace, or Maggie and Hope. I think the hardest part for me was leaving the other two kids behind. Grace, she'll be old enough to go next year, but my little guy Mac, I really struggled and cried for a whole day. But I knew that he was in great hands here with Sarah Vilwalk, and I thank her for that. And after one whole day of crying, I was fine. The rest of the time, I had perfect peace. So it really worked out, and I was able to concentrate on our youth, who, all you parents, I can't say enough, these kids, and I mean every single one, zero exceptions, were just, I mean, I just look up to them. I wish I could be like them. There was no complaining. They were just so willing to do everything and anything. They were there for all the right reasons. It was awesome. I was privileged to have, we got split up into groups and crews, and I was privileged to have Johnny King and David Flera on my group, on my crew, and they took good care of me, my men there for the week. And we were assigned to reconstruct a porch, a screened-in porch, and I don't do construction ever. And I did it, and I was really, really proud. I was just praising God that I was able to get my hands dirty and not worry about it. It was okay. And he really worked everything out. It was just really visible to me to see every step he took me through. I just needed to get out of the everyday grind and say, okay, Lord, because I was saying up until that week, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going. And my husband truly thought, she's not going. So I think I shocked everybody. The Lord really just gave me courage and strength to go. And I was very blessed to see what he had for me, because he had a whole lot. So thank you, all you kids. Really made the time great for me.
My name is Michelle. I similarly was, I actually had committed to go on the mission trip with the youth, and everybody in my family was going, and then I found out I was pregnant. And I put a little kink in it, and I thought, well, I can't go. There's no way that I can go. And I actually had my sister-in-law who's pregnant as well, and she went 2 weeks earlier, so I thought if she could go, I could go. And I just was anxious about feeling tired, you know, just the whole thing and being able to keep up. And I just decided that I would just let it go. I knew that the whole church was praying, and I thought, I'm just going to relax and kind of like what Sarah was saying, just give that week to God and stop trying to plan ahead and think ahead of what was going to happen. And, you know, there were some rough parts, but I knew people were praying, and it was good. But I was reminded of this verse actually that week, and so I wanted to come back and share with you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles us, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I really feel like that was the verse for the week, and you all are my cloud of witnesses, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, I have to say thank you for blessing us with all of your kids. They are such a blessing to me. I enjoy working with every one of them, and I think that for me is just the awesomeness, is watching them grow. Watching them grow just in God and seeing what they come back with. You guys sent us out, as Romans chapter 10 talks about, you sent us out, and their feet were beautiful all week, just spreading God's word, and it was awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, and this is something that, you know, I've always have said, you know, when we go somewhere, sometimes you're called to plant, sometimes you're called to water, but God's the only one that gives that increase. And Paul said that. He said, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And it is awesome to see that Jesse and David had, or not David, who was that, Kenny, had the awesome opportunity to see that young boy come to Christ. I was actually on Ashley's crew this year, and we had a wonderful bunch of kids from all over the East Coast, and they were great kids. They were willing to go out and work. They were willing to go out and pray and try anything, job that you gave them to do. And they just truly blessed me. Can Miss Kim, let's go out and do some prayer walking. All right, let's go. A lot of the people were kind of closed-doored in the neighborhood we were in, but I had a wonderful opportunity that we had to go and pray with a couple down the road, and we were able to pray. She had cancer. We were able to pray for her and for her kids to find a job, and she had a son that was in jail, and we were just praying over them and having such an awesome time, and prayed for God to open those doors of that neighborhood that they wouldn't be close-hearted to the gospel. And so it is just an awesome opportunity if you ever have a chance to go on one of these trips. This is my fifth year going, and I love it. And every year I see more growth, and we get more kids every year. It's so great, and more adults that go. And again, just thank you for sending them out. Thank you for letting them come. And every one of you have beautiful feet, and it's just been so awesome to be a part of your guys' lives and watch you grow. It's just, anyway, thank you, because I'll get teary-eyed, and I don't want to do that.
At this time, Mary Frank and Juliana Bolner are going to come and give testimony.
Well, I'm going to talk about one of the services that we had. It was called the Concert of Prayer, or the Silent Service. And, like, it was really nice because the theme was to be unhindered. And basically what the Silent Service did was it, like, let out all distractions, which is what unhindered is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be where there's no distractions and you're fully, like, in with God and everything. And so, like, the Silent Service really, like, hit me, especially because there was nothing there to stop you. Like, there was nothing. And it was, like, all these, like, songs and everything. It was, like, really good songs to go with everything that was happening. And by far, World Changers was the best week of my life. I was supposed to go on vacation that week, and I didn't go so I could go to World Changers. So it was, like, it was hard because you were getting up at 4 in the morning and stuff, but it was, like, so much fun. Like, you were, like, excited to wake up the next day, even if you didn't want to. And, like all those services were, like, really good. Like, you just felt it. Like, and there was so much crying. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's, like, there was so much crying, and it was, like, you could feel, like, God there. And, like, nobody... Like, I felt our youth group get closer, and I just hope that it stays like that, like, that we all stay unhindered, and, like, stuff like the Silent Service, where there's no distractions, we could stay like that. Yeah.
Hi, my name's Juliana, and this was my first year in World Changers, and I felt that God really spoke to me as to opening and softening my heart to all the different types of people that we were around, since we were in a different area, and I'm not used to being around that kind of violence, I guess you could say. He really just helped me control everything better. And I'd like to thank my youth leaders and all my all of you guys for praying for me, and I really couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
Just for some clarification, the girls got up at 4 o'clock in the morning because they took showers. The guys didn't need to get up for at least another 2 hours after that. All right, we took our showers at night. We didn't take them in the morning because our hair does not need to look nice, if we even have any. I got a couple extra seconds, so I would like to give testimony as well. I hadn't planned that, but my testimony... While we were there, we were in a really rough part of the neighborhood. Down the street from us, there was a bus stop. And at that bus stop where everybody came to catch the bus, and I'm talking about like public transit bus stop, where everybody came to catch the bus was a feller's house there. And he had a fence that went around his yard, I guess because he'd had some trouble. It was a 10-foot fence with barbed wire on it. And a 10-foot gate with barbed wire on it. I mean, it was definitely kind of different this year than our experience last year. Watertown was mostly a place where there was, you know, older folks lived, and that's who we helped. This year was just totally different. It was neat in a lot of ways and different. So this year, last year the crew chiefs were allowed to go off site and do the prayer walking. This year we were not allowed to do that. They wanted us to make sure we stayed on site, and then our helpers could go along, you know, the adults could go along out. So I didn't actually get to go off site too much. I did make a joke and say, I told Miss Kim, I said, look, there's some people standing right over there, tie extension cord to me. I'm going out because I can't stand not to talk to everybody all week. So, you know, we got to talk to our homeowner a little bit, but as Miss Kim was saying, she was not there. She went to work. So she came out and said, hey, how you doing? Zip, zip, and was gone. I was like, man, I need to tell somebody about Jesus here. So they put the cord on me, and I went out and I got to speak to somebody about the Lord, which was fun. And but the testimony I have is the last 2 years, both times I've not had any of our youth on my team, and they get to see me all the time. So this year I was like, Lord, what's that all about? Because it's an awesome thing to be able to all of a sudden you just come together with all these different folks from different parts of the country. And I said, what do you have for me? He says, I want you to challenge, you know, the youth that you are with. You know what I mean? And to what World Changers is truly about. And you know, I didn't know what that meant. And we had a young man on our team, and he has just unbelievable leadership potential, this young man. I mean, just people followed him, and he didn't even hardly say anything. It was just the way about him that he had. And but he had such a terrible, poor attitude that it broke my heart. And I kept saying, Lord, how can I speak to this young man? You know, and we would, you know, I try to challenge him, you know, a little bit and talk to him, and he was just not getting it. I mean, don't get me wrong, he never was completely ignorant. He was just always ever so slightly challenging all the leaders on our team, just challenging, biting back at us, making a joke, you know, constantly. And finally, one afternoon, we were around back, and I just felt the Lord say, you have to be hard on this young man. He needs to understand what you're trying to say. And, you know, I did it more as a joke. I said, Tyler, I said, you see that shed over there? I mean, there's a shed at the back of the property. I said, if I took you behind that shed and spent some time with you for about 15 or 20 minutes, I bet you we wouldn't have nowhere near the problem that we're having. His eyeballs got about that big around. And, of course, I laughed as I said that because he knew I was not going to do that. We'd already spent 3 days together. And he knew my heart. But, wow, did that change him. You know, and I say that changed him, but that changed him some. And I was like, Lord, I loved him. I talked to him. We prayed together. You know, we had conversation away from, you know, because when we come back, you have plenty of time for conversation. And we had some time for conversation then. And I said, you know, was that even anything at all, Lord? We exchange numbers, you know, with your team. You exchange numbers, your Facebook account, all that stuff, so you can keep in contact. And I exchanged numbers with him, and I was I said to myself, I'm gonna give him a call one day. I said, but he'll probably never call me. You know, he really not concerned with. And I guess it was probably about a week or two later, his church family, their pastor resigned and their youth pastor. And that was probably, I guess, a couple 3 weeks after we got back. And who do you think he texted? It was it really touched my heart that I just loved him enough that he knew he could trust me and that I could be someone that he could share with. And he texted me to share that information, and we've spent some time back and forth again since then. So it's just a beautiful time together. We did a house. When we showed up at it, you know, we looked at it and said, you know, there's just no possible way we're going to paint this whole house. We had to power wash this whole house. It's a fairly small house, but had to power wash, paint all the windows, everything. I said, there's no way we'll get that done in 4 days. But the Lord was faithful. And it's just amazing. I challenge you to, for your youth as well, they can do far more than you think they can. If you would just give them the opportunity to do it, you have to permit them to fail. Is really what you have to do, because when you do that, when you unleash them to do that, it is just amazing at the things that they can do. And they showed that over the week. And not just with that, but with their attitude. You know, when we stop for restaurants, just everything, right down to even at King's Dominion. We stopped at King's Dominion on the way home. Some guy had a harebrained idea to spend a whole week working and then spend the whole day at King's Dominion on the way home. Guy's an idiot, man. Oh, that's right. That was me. But we had to be back at a certain time. And if you've been to King's Dominion before, there's rides. You know what I mean? So you can't, how are you going to get everybody back at the same time? They're standing in lines, and, you know, a couple of them take, and look, I don't know if I'm going to make it back. I said, look, we got to leave on time. The adults are ready to die. They've already been on the concrete out front, you know. Yeah, they were having fun. It was a problem. They were having a blast. They would have stayed another couple hours. But we said we had to be back at 6:30, do you know everyone was there at 6:30? It was just an unbelievable moment to see just their obedience to the authority in their life. Because we talk about that all the time, that we have to have the authority of the Lord in our life. We have to give Him that authority. And then we have to give people around us that same authority that love us and care for us. And that was a beautiful thing. And just every time, straight through, it was just like that. It was awesome. I thank you for just, as Kim did, for having the opportunity to be with your youth. It's a true blessing. And you guys actually pay me to do that. That's crazy. But I should pay you back. The scripture that I would like to share with you this morning is from John chapter 14, verse 12. And it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And just to clarify a little bit, that last part of the scripture where he says that you'll do greater things because I'm going to the Father, he's explaining that the Holy Spirit's coming. And he does that in a few of the verses that are after that. But what I really like to focus on just for a moment in the time we have left is that first beginning of that scripture. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. A few verses before that one, Philip says, show us the Father. And that's what everybody wants. You know, they want to know who the Father is. When people are seeking after the Lord, they want you to show them. And of course Philip got a lesson and he said, you know, I've been with you for 3 years, Philip. You know me. And as Timmy was saying that, you know, to love me, we know how to love Him. We just have to do it. You know, we have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, show me. I know how to love You. Help me to do that better. But I think He gives the answer to the show me thing right there. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And you got to ask yourself the question, who? He says, anyone who has faith in me. Not just the preacher. Not just the leaders. Not just the youth that went on World Changers. He says, anyone who has faith, anyone who trusts and believes in me will do what I have been doing. So what had Jesus been doing? If I was to ask you that question, most people would say, go straight to the miracles, right? you think about that question in your head, most of you went right straight to all the miracles he did, you know, from help and helping people. And that is a wonderful thing, to help people. But we have to have balance. When you think of the ways that we help people, you know, giving rides, you know, helping the sick, giving them food or even money, even like we did on World Changers. You know, we went down to help people. We supplied the labor, and we helped, I think, 24 different sites. It was awesome. But what the thing that's important, that we can't just help people. You know, can't just be the help people. That's not all that Jesus did. He showed people how to be saved. And I think a lot of times the church, we're really, really good at just helping people. And the devil likes it that way. Because if we stop there, we miss the whole other side of what it was to help people. And as Mike said, to know Him, that's what people need to know. You have to be able to explain how am I going to tell these people? You know, we come first and we say, we come to know them. And as we know them and learn to love Him, then we have that opportunity to show Him. And as our youth did, and I challenge us as well, as we learn to show Him, we have to have balance between helping with the physical needs and with their spiritual needs. Because if we take credit for it, if we just help and that's the end of it, then we take His glory. Right? If we don't say why we're helping somebody. You know, the kids got a lesson in that, the youth did when we were there. You didn't just do the work. You had a way to explain to people, this is what we're doing here. We're working on this house, but we come down here and we sleep on the floor. Did you guys know that? I don't know if we mentioned that before. They sleep on the floor. You know how much room we had between each other? About that much. Somebody said none, right? Yeah, none. In some of the rooms, they had no room in between each other. That's what they shared. They shared for people and said, look, this is what we're doing, but this is why we're doing it. We're doing it because Jesus loved us and saved us, and we want that for you. And it's being able to have those examples. And yes, if you have, you have to be able to open our mouth. You know, we have to be able to say this, not just show it in monetary ways, but be able to open our mouth and speak it. We have to try the door of people's hearts. Is God drawing them? If He's not, then you walk away. If so, in you go. I made that up. Do you like that? If so, in you go. They don't call me corn man for nothing. That's right. But you have to walk through that door. And if you don't know what to say, we want to help you. The youth are going to, starting this Wednesday, we're going to go through the Way of the Master training again. We've been through it a couple times. The youth are going to do it because we're doing fifth quarter. Which brings me to another thing. Fifth quarter happens after every home football game over at the stadium at Kenan High School. What a wonderful way to reach out into the neighborhood. There is so many youth there that do not know the Lord, some who have never even heard. Yeah, I know you think that's impossible, but it is possible in our world now and in the United States of America for somebody not even to understand Jesus in the slightest. And that's a crying shame. But there's an opportunity there after every home game to we give them pizza or hot dogs. We hang out with them, give them a safe place to go after the football game. They got all that energy stored up in them. And it just gives you an opportunity. If you want to serve to do that, we need your help. There's always we need help with walking around in the dark places and the security team, you know, and help with handing them out. But that's an opportunity. But for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be here learning how to share our faith, learning to be able to take it past, you know, how you're doing it and being able to step into the spiritual. You know what I mean? From the natural stuff of the world and step across that line into the spiritual. And this is just one way. You know, there's other ways to do it, but this is an awesome way to help people to understand. We want you to come out. It's about a half hour video that you can sit in the back row back here and listen to the video, and then we'll break you up in small groups. If five of you show up, you got a small group. If 15 of you show up, you got three small groups. You like that?
Yeah.
You like that? That's pretty good. But we want you to come out because it gives you an opportunity to really share with those that are in your family around you. And I want to give you an example of that, since I have a couple extra minutes. You know what I don't have? I don't have a Bible. Give me a Bible, somebody. All right. How could he not have his Bible up there? That's ridiculous. You were thinking it. Come on. In John 14, you know, if we're going to reach out and show people Jesus, the first thing you have to do is you got to go somewhere where people don't know Jesus. Right? You know, I know we like hanging out with each other. You know, we do. Most of the time, I hang out with you guys. If I want to have dinner with somebody, I'm going to ask one of you guys. But that's not going to help us show Jesus to the world. We have to go to places. That's what Fifth Quarter is. It's a place you can go where there's a lot of folks that don't know Jesus. But you have to invite people over that don't know. You have to be intentional about sharing Christ. You can't just say, oh, Lord, make it happen. He will. He'll make you think about asking somebody over for dinner. Right? So once they get there, though, then what do? You got people in the house, right? And they're sitting in a chair, and you say, hey, kids, get the duct tape! That's probably not going to work, right? You can't duct tape them down and make them listen. I had that idea one time. Or you could hang a big cross in your living room, right? And when you walk past them, you could go. Right? Huh? And that's not going to work either, right? They're not going to get that. All them crosses hanging in your living room are not going to make any difference to them. They're going to think you like plus signs. Remember? They don't know Jesus. They don't get the cross thing. So, how can you reach folks for Christ that don't know? You have to be able to ask them the question. You have to be able to look at them and say, what is it what do people do when you get together? What do you share about? You share about your job, right? Which, I get that. That's an end for me right immediately. But, you know, so what do you do? I say, I'm glad you asked. And I can shoot right in there then. But then you ask questions. You know, you see movies. You know, you read books. People read books. They like to talk about what they read, right? You read a book, right? Well, how about this? Come with me to John 14 there at the beginning. You say, look, you know, I was reading in this book this morning. Listen to this. It says, it's a Bible. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. He's talking about heaven. Jesus is talking about heaven. He's saying there's a lot of rooms in his house. He says, is that cool or what? If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Is that cool or what? You can talk with your the people that you have over and say, God, that's actually when Jesus went and prepared a place for us to go and be with Him in heaven. Is that neat? He says, and then continue on with me here. Well, I'm reading from the Bible here. It says, and if we go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also... That you also may be where I am. He's actually going to come back and get us. He's going to go make the places. That's the coolest thing. And then He's going to come back and fetch us to be with Him. Is that neat? I got to read this last part and I'm done. I'm glad y'all came over for dinner, by the way. It says, in verse 4, it says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And I have to ask that question. We've been talking about this in church. You know, people have been challenging me, you know, to talk to the people around me to make sure that they know how to get there. They know to go to the place. Do you know the way to the place where He's going, where heaven is? Do you know that way? How easy is that? I mean, this is something, you know, a lot of times we take Jesus and put Him like in a little box and we don't want to pull Him out because we're going to be embarrassed. Oh, wait a minute. Could we possibly be embarrassed to talk about Jesus? You know, I mean, that concourse, that wasn't a concourse, but I'm trying to use words I don't know. I do that from time to time. Nancy says, do you know what that means? No, I didn't know what that meant. Hillbilly. Yeah, excuse. That part of Scripture I just read, you know, you might think that's kind of hokey, but that's not hokey. That's God's Word. You know what I mean? This is something we have sitting on our desk, you know, sitting on our desk at work, and we don't talk about it. People come in and talk about the most disgusting things at our work, you know, what they saw on television, what they saw in movies, and we don't want to talk about His Word. That just makes no sense. We have to take a step of faith and say, I'm just going to do it. And there was a time in my life where I had to do that. I had to start saying, I am going to stop talking about the natural all the time and jump into the spiritual. But you have to take the step. It's a hard step. But once you do it, it's fun. You know what I mean? Because you start walking around and you're looking, Lord, who's next? Somebody's getting ready to get it. Who's next? If you don't know Jesus and you happen to be sitting out of there, you might be next. Then you better just run from me when I get out of there. but you have to, it has to be that kind of love, and you only get that love if first you know Him. You got to know Him first, or that won't be there. And then you got to love Him. Because if we don't love Him, we talk about it in youth group all the time, those bricks will go up in front of, because our sin's going to separate. And if we're not spending time with us, we are going to be in sin. It's just natural. It happens. And those bricks get built in front of you until you can't even see the Spirit working in your life anymore. So you have to know Him. Then you have to love Him. When you love Him, and it's beautiful because His mercies are new every day, right? Every day. When you love Him and you say, I love you, Lord, all the bricks are gone again. And it's a complete relationship back together again. And you don't have to, there's nothing that is hindering you. You're completely unhindered to have that relationship. And you can say, show me now. Lord, let me show you to the people around me. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, to share what you did. Lord, I ask that question again to my family here and to my friends. Are you missing out? Lord, you have so much for us, and it's that joy, that great joy is always on the other side of obedience, Lord. And not an obedience because we have to. Obedience because we want to. It comes out of loving you. We're automatically going to be obedient if we'll just love you, spend time with you. Lord, for anyone out here that doesn't know you, Lord, help them not to leave this place today. I remember when I came to know you, Lord, that my palms were sweating, my arms were hurting. Lord, because you were calling me, you were speaking to me. I was nervous because I heard your voice. Lord, if there's somebody sitting here today that knows they need to take that step, take that step of commitment and surrender their life to you, Father, help them not to leave this morning. Help them to talk to us. Lord, and for those who struggle, the world throws many things at us, Lord, that keeps us from loving you. Lord, we want to live unhindered lives for you. We know we must love you. We must spend the time. There's no substitute for spending time in your word and spending time talking to you, and then spending time listening to you. Help us to know that, Lord. There's no substitute for that. And Father, as we do that, Father, give us many opportunities to show you to others, Lord. Help us not to be afraid, and as your word says, to not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's your power for salvation unto the world. Lord, help us to show. Help us to take the step, that step of faith, Lord. We say we trust. We say we believe. Lord, help us to actually do it and step from the natural to the supernatural, to the spiritual side of our lives, and share that with those around us. Father, we know as we do those things, we'll be world changers too. Lord, I thank you that you even count us worthy to come alongside and have that great joy of sharing who you are with other people. Lord, I can't imagine a life where I couldn't share. So I thank you for that, Lord. Father, as we close, I just ask that you would help us to take this to the next level. To be practical, to see these examples that these youth have shown us. and to reach out to the world around us. Many opportunities to do so, Lord. Open our eyes that we can see all the people around us, Father, the way You see them, not the way we see them. Father, give us a heart of compassion for them, that we can't do nothing else but to speak of Your love. And just ask that in Your beautiful name, name above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of our service here, we're going to show a video. We're going to dismiss you as well, because it's probably about, well, we actually have about that long. We're not going to dismiss you at all. We're going to make you sit through the whole video. So, yay! Because it's actually, the video's for all the crews that were there, and it shows all the different crews, so we're going to go ahead, since we have a couple minutes, we're going to go ahead and let you watch the whole video, and then Josh Thompson's going to come when we're finished and give us the benediction. Yes, guys, if you'll come and grab this.